At the end of today's gospel, we hear of kind of a strange conversation between people outside the house and Jesus inside. They tell him that his mother and his brother and sisters are outside. And that's strange for us because we know that Jesus didn't have any brothers and sisters. He didn't have any siblings. And even in the last couple weeks, this has been brought to my attention. I've had this question asked to me maybe four or five times, of whether or not Jesus could have had siblings. To be honest, I didn't even know that it was a point of discrepancy between Christian denominations on whether or not Jesus had siblings. But when this gospel came up for this Sunday, I decided to pray about it. And I came up with five reasons as to why Jesus could not have had siblings. And I'll tell you why this is important. The first is that the gospel account that we hear is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And whenever they talk about Jesus' brethren, they always talk about them as Jesus' brethren. They never associate them as the son or daughter of Mary and Joseph, like Jesus is. But I think that's an important distinction, that they're always brethren of Jesus, not children of Mary and Joseph. The second point is that when Jesus was on the cross, if he had any siblings, he would not have entrusted John to his mother. That if Jesus had other siblings, they would have been the ones who would have taken care of Mary. But he didn't. So he entrusted John to take care of his mother. The third point is that we know who those people are talking about. Earlier in that scripture, and this is accounted in the other synoptic gospels as well, we know that it's James and John. And the funny thing is that James and John have a mother whose name is Mary, which can be easily confused. And we know that James and John were close relatives to Jesus. I don't know what that means, if they were first cousins, second cousins, but we know that they would have been close to him. Which brings me to my fourth point, that in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, there is not a word for cousin. That whenever they talk about brethren, it can be anyone close to them. It can be their siblings, it can be distant cousins, and that's what Jesus would have had. So if it was James and John outside, and they were his close relatives, Jesus would have been correct to call them brethren. And lastly, Jesus clarifies even what he means by this. At the very end, he says, "Whoever does the will of my Father is my mother, my brother, and my sister." He clarifies what he means by it. So what's the whole point of this? Why does this even matter? Why am I standing up here acting like a teacher during the summertime? It matters because if Jesus had siblings, then Mary wouldn't be ever virgin. The doctrine, or the dogma, meaning it's unchangeable, of Mary's ever virginity is that she was a virgin before as well as after the birth of Christ. And that's very important, that Mary was a virgin after. We understand that God used Mary in an incredible way. God used Mary in an absolutely incredible way. But he didn't just use her as an instrument to bring about the incarnation and then just kind of set her aside. No. Mary was important, not only for all of Jesus' life, but all of our lives, for salvation history. That Mary is not just something that can be tossed to the side. The reason that she is an ever virgin, the reason that she's a virgin after, is that she can be our mother as well. That what Jesus did to John on the cross in giving Mary his mother, not just to John, but to all humanity as well, that Mary becomes our mother, and that's really important. Because without that, we can't understand the teaching that Jesus has in today's gospel. Jesus gives us this revolutionary understanding that this faith that he's giving us is supposed to be lived out in a family. That we're supposed to look at each other as family members. That's not what they used to think. That's not how religion was. But Jesus gives us the institution of the family in order to understand the faith. That we look at each other as siblings. And we need Mary as our mother in order to uphold that understanding. So what does that look like? How do we understand a parish, our faith? How is this supposed to be lived out as a family? In a family, the lowliest member is the one that needs to be looked out for. That people will drop everything to help that member. That in a certain way, we are our brother's keeper. And in another sense, as iron sharpens iron, we hold each other accountable to be more faithful people. That we help each other on the way to heaven. That in a certain sense, we're responsible for each other. That I know in this current culture, sometimes I have the desire just to go build a cabin in the middle of the Badlands away from everyone else. But that can never be the answer. That Christianity is always countercultural. It's always going to stand as something that's hard to understand with the current culture. And the answer can never be to go off on our own. That we're supposed to band together to help each other out. Let me give you an example of this. When I was in seminary, I became good friends with a couple guys. We decided that we would live sort of a communal life, that we would try to keep our schedules as close together as we could. We went to different universities, but we still had the times in which we planned to work out, the times in which we wanted to pray, and the times in which we wanted to study. So there'd be times in which I'd go down to the gym, and I noticed my friend Dan wasn't down there, that he was trying to skip out. So I'd go up to his room, knock on his door, say, "Dan, it's time to work out." And there are times in which he held me accountable. There are times in which I would be in the library, and I'd be studying, and I'd be working with this train of thought, trying to get everything written down. Maybe I was working on a paper or something, and I didn't want to stop. And that went into the time that I had set aside for prayer. And Dan would come out of the chapel, come into the library, and close my laptop and say, "It's time to pray." I know that he made me a better man, and I hope that I made him a better man because we held each other accountable. That as iron sharpens iron, we understand that we're in this battle together. So today, as Jesus gives us this understanding that the faith is supposed to be lived as a family, I hope that we look at God as our Father, not in just some superficial sense, but to really understand that He is our Father, to look at each other as our brothers and sisters, to be able to lend a helping hand, not only to be able to lend it, but to be able to accept a helping hand when you need it. And I think almost most importantly is to be able to see how God looks at us as His children. How God looks at us as His children. And for those of you who are parents, you can understand what that means. And to know that if we do God's will, then we can be a part of this family in which Jesus wants us to be a part of.